O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths will declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The scripture for today is Numbers 27, verses 12 through 23. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word as we listen to He Leadeth Me by Joseph Henry Gilmore William and Bachelder Bradbury, arranged here by Reformed Youth Ministries Worship. In this contemporary arrangement, low guitar strings provide a rumbling foundation and reverberant vocal filters provide the illusion of a lush soundscape. The addition of close vocal harmonies infuses the song with a more Americana style in the simple yet powerful refrain.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory is won, even death's cold way I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Numbers 27, verses 12 through 23. The Lord said to Moses, "Go up into this mountain of Abiram and see the land that I have given to the people of Israel. When you have seen it, you shall be gathered to your people, as your brother Aaron was, because you rebelled against my word in the wilderness of Zin, when the congregation quarreled, failing to uphold me as holy at the waters before their eyes. These are the waters of Meribah, of Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin." Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep who have no shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Make him stand before Eleazar the priest and all the congregation, and you shall commission him in their sight. You shall invest him with some of your authority, that all the congregation of the people of Israel may obey. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the people of Israel with him, the whole congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and made him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole congregation. And he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord directed through Moses. It's springtime now, which means, most importantly, that it's baseball season. Just a few weeks ago, Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw threw 7 perfect innings. This means that in 7 innings, not a single batter on the opposing team reached base. Kershaw was dominant that day. And just to show you how dominant he was, of the 21 outs he recorded in those 7 innings, 13 of them were strikeouts. To pitch a perfect game is an incredible feat. There have only been 23 of them in baseball history. This could have been the 24th, but we'll never know, because Dodgers manager Dave Roberts pulled Kershaw after the 7th inning. Many people saw that move as outrageous. Why not give the guy a chance? But you know who didn't react that way? Clayton Kershaw. In his post-game interview, when asked about how he felt about Roberts' decision to go with someone else in the 8th, he said he would have loved to have stayed in the game, but quote, "Bigger things, man, bigger things." And what were those bigger things? The success of the team. Kershaw's goal was the good of the team, not achieving a personal milestone. That is a small example of what we see happening here in this passage. Moses had faithfully led the people of Israel through many trials. He had endured hardships, battles, uprisings, but he stayed the course. He was determined to get his people to the promised land. But back in Numbers 20, Moses sinned against the Lord, and as a judgment against that action, God told Moses that he wouldn't be the one to finish the game, to bring the mission to completion. God would remain faithful to his promise to bring the people into the land of promise, but he would do so without Moses. In our text here, God reiterated that judgment. Now, some of us might be inclined to object. Doesn't that seem harsh? Shouldn't God give him another chance? But do you know who didn't object? Moses. Why? Bigger things, man, bigger things. Moses was more concerned with the mission, reaching the promised land, than he was with himself. He knew the people needed a leader, but it didn't have to be him. So he does everything he can to get Joshua ready for the task at hand. And what humility. And in this way, Moses points us to the ultimate example of humility, to Jesus. Paul in Philippians urges us to, quote, "have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Can you imagine what the church would look like if we set aside selfish ambition and conceit? If we counted others more significant than ourselves? If we, like Moses, like Jesus, looked not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others? Can you imagine what we could accomplish? Well, friends, I think this is something that the gospel can produce. Why? Because it dethrones us. It blesses us with the amazing news that our salvation, our security, our worth, our status is not wrapped up in our performance, but in Jesus's. It gives you the freedom to forget about yourself, which allows you to focus on bigger things like other people and the mission God has given us. So in the next few moments, I'd encourage you to pray that the Lord would apply the gospel to your heart in such a way that you, like Moses, like Jesus, could focus on things outside of and bigger than yourself. Pray that the Spirit will cultivate in you real gospel humility. Let's close now with this old Anglican prayer. Father, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. For the sake of your Son, our Savior. Amen.